The message here, and I just felt like taking some time. A lot of this stuff that we heard today is not being taught, it's not being shared. The meaning of the flag, what it represents, what it stands for, or songs that we sing. Sometimes, you know, you go to a ball game and you might sing it, Star Spangled Banner or God Bless America. Sometimes you don't understand who wrote that or what kind of a time was it in when that song first came out. And you need to understand the importance of veterans. And I would say this too, I love a time like this for our own young people to look around and see others that served our country. Hearing a Leroy and hearing about these men back there and others, Brother Bob. And these are folks that were willing to go die and serve our country, willing to lay their lives down the line. And we want to thank them and appreciate them and love them. And obviously, you're in the Lord's army if you're saved. There's another army we're in, right? It's not just about USA. It is about the Lord and the coming kingdom of Christ. And so, grab your Bibles, go to Acts chapter 6. Let's look here at verse number 1. And we're going to end with the word multiply. Let's all read it together, the very first verse, and we'll end with one word, the word multiply there. Here we go. Ready? And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied. Let's go to Lord in prayer this morning. Father, I need your help, Lord, now the time we have set aside for the preaching of your word. May you, Lord, speak to hearts to everyone here. May we get a blessing from the word of God, and may you have free reign in our lives and in our hearts. Lord, I pray that you help us to be focused even this morning. Eliminate the distractions from the word of God going to where it needs to go, doing what it needs to do. Help us not just to be hearers this morning. Help us to be doers, Lord, of what we hear, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated, and I'll go to my lapel mic here, and we'll start with this one right here. See if it's on. There we go. Good. Growing up, how many of you ever experienced growing pains? How many of you know what I'm talking about? And especially the teenage years, and the knees were hurting, and the shins were hurting, and my mom, what is going on? I'm sore. I'm hurting. She would tell me, "You're growing." And it's been a while, it's been a few weeks since I've seen Adrian. And I saw, first thing this morning, I saw him, I said, "Man, you've grown." He's like, "Yeah," and he has grown. He's grown, and I think 6'1 or something like that, whatever. I'm jealous because I've always wanted to be at least over 6 feet tall. I'm only 5'11", okay? I'm 5'11", and I always kind of wanted stuff like toilet paper and, you know, under my shoe to kind of bump me up a little bit so I could have that 6 foot. I'm 6 feet. And I don't know how many young people, especially when you're young, you have that, "I want to be tall, I want to be tall, I want to be tall." And you know how it is, year after year, maybe that same height, you know? And like, then I've told my girls, and my wife has actually told my girls, that if they get taller than her, she goes, "If you ever get taller than me, I'm giving you spankings." And they're like, "Well, tough, you know, I can't control that, you know?" And I'm only 5'11", but I couldn't imagine being, you know, almost 7 feet tall. Anthony Davis is 6'11", an all-star for the Los Angeles Lakers. Any Lakers fans in here? No? Okay, we got a couple of Laker guys here. When Anthony Davis was in high school, he grew from 6 feet 2 inches to 6 feet 10 inches between his sophomore and senior years of high school. 8 inches in 18 months. That's a lot. When he was 6'2", he had a scholarship offer from the Cleveland State University. By his senior year, he was the number one high school player in the nation. Talk about how drastically that all changed from being 6'2", one college, not many people know about that school, to being 6'10", and then all these other offers that came to him. His growth spurt was helpful, but it created challenges. His parents had to buy him new clothes constantly. And some of your parents know that's like having kids growing up and their feet. My mom, my family always called me, I had clown feet. My feet grew, but my height was still like the same. And eventually my height had to catch up to my feet. You know what I'm talking about? But he had to learn how to play from being a guard to being more like a center. He had to learn how to rebound, block shots, post up. And his basketball heroes changed from being guards to being like big guys, tall guys, because that's who he was. He was 6'11" and had grown. What we're finding here in Acts chapter 6, growing pains. Growing pains of the early church. Let me just remind us here again this morning. We're talking about when the Lord came. He has already gone to the cross. He's already died for the sins of the world. He has now resurrected. He's assembled his men. He's told them, "Hey, y'all need to go into all the world and preach the gospel." You find that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and even in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 8. And he says, you're going to be witnesses. You're going to share the good news of my death to everybody. You're going to start here in Jerusalem. You're going to go to Judea. You're going to go to Samaria. You're going to go to the uttermost parts of the earth because everybody needs to hear this good news. But wait. Remember that message? A while ago? You know, wait. And they had to wait till the coming of the Holy Spirit came upon them, where they were endued with power. And then they, Acts chapter 2, the preaching of Peter there with the Jews, and about 3,000 got saved. Remember that? Here we have 120 people in the upper room, and then you go to chapter 2, 3,000 people get saved and baptized. Amen, that's pretty cool. Acts chapter number 3, you got that lame man there, lame man who can't walk. He's a beggar, and he said, remember Peter, silver and gold have I none, but I got something. I can give you Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. And that lame man there, walking man, the Lord, the gospel, it reached one right there. And then the temple, remember the temple in Acts chapter 4, all that took place there, and a little bit of the uprising, and Peter and John are thrown in their prison. But the Bible says about 5,000 men believed at that point. And so you see growing. More people getting saved. More people are getting baptized. The good news of Jesus is spreading, and more people are being converted. But then you also are seeing persecutions coming, though, where we find out, where we were at last week, Acts chapter 5, all 12 apostles are thrown into prison. Remember the angel came, delivered them, and said, go, stand, and speak. Don't stop. Keep on going. And I preached a message last week called the Unstoppable Church. You can't stop the gospel. It's the greatest news in all the world, and everybody needs to hear it. That's the gospel. And then Acts chapter 5, verse 14 says, believers were the more added to the church, multitudes, both men and women. So you have it growing, and it's multiplying. We find here, multiplying. But look at me in chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, what days? Days of persecution. Days of imprisonment. Do you remember last week we talked about the whipping, the beating of those apostles that went to prison? And then they got out of prison, and they're preaching again. And remember the council, they go summon for the men. They're not there. They come and say they're not there. They're back in the temple again. They bring them from the temple back to the Sanhedrin. What are you guys doing speaking in this name? Did we not tell thee to not speak in the name of Jesus Christ? Remember Peter's message? We ought to obey God rather than men. That was the message right there. Let me get your attention, please. I know we got some, just pay attention up here, please. That message was given to them again about the Lord, about what they did, how they crucified him. And Peter again speaks to them, and they're ready to just kill these guys, get rid of these guys. Remember Gamaliel? Gamaliel steps in. Hold on, guys. And he gives them some illustrations from previous, like groups of people following a person. And if it's not of God, it would just kind of fizzle out. And if it is of God, you can't stop it. Remember that? You cannot stop what God's doing. You do not want to be on the wrong side here. And you don't want to fight God. That's what Gamaliel was saying. So they release them, but before they release them, they beat them. They beat them. And so they're going back, but you know what they do? You find them here, multiplying now is taking place. People are getting saved. People are coming to know Christ. People are becoming followers of Christ right here. They're following Christ, and they're fulfilling the Great Commission. They're preaching the gospel, telling other people about it. Listen, folks, my desire, one of the reasons why I wanted to preach for the book of Acts first as your pastor, because I desire as your pastor that this church would be like the church in the book of Acts. That this church right here would be a lot like what we find here in the book of Acts. And I want to see this church no doubt grow. Obviously, God is the one that grows his church. He's the one that does that. But I know this, as we obey, as we go, as we share the gospel, as we tell others, as we follow Christ, as we're disciples of Christ, you know what's going to happen here at Coronado Baptist Church? It's going to grow. God will bless the church as it obeys the Lord. But persecution did not stop them. They had multiplied, and it was in those days. I wonder what God wants to do in these days. In the days of persecution, the disciples multiplied. In the days of 2021, you know what God wants to do here? He wants to multiply. He wants more people to come to Christ, more people to know the good news, more people to get baptized, more people to join the church, more people to, man, get into this thing called church and to be serving God with their lives. In these days, I wonder what God wants to do. I look at the past of Coronado Baptist Church. The history of our church, we've had some high days back in the 50s and 60s. I know Miss Stone, you're back there at that time. And there were some averages in the 200s of people coming to Coronado Baptist Church. You're sitting right now in a 300-seat auditorium. 150 over there, 150 over there. And that's 300. If you add these seats on the sides and the up here, then I guess we could get a little bit more than just the 300. And then you read the story of Coronado. You can see kind of declining. There's seasons of decline. Obviously, this church at one point was about to close its doors. Now, of course, Pastor Cruz was pastoring Tucson Independent Baptist Church, and that merge that took place. And when Tucson Independent came here and took this church, began to grow. And some of you folks here might have been joining that church around that time when Pastor Cruz was the pastor and seeing high days and big days and the Lord's blessings here with that. Of course, it's a little bit of a season where sometimes it's up and then goes kind of down and then goes back up a little bit. But we're in a season right now at our church of God's blessings, I believe. I was asking Miss Rosa, can you give me some numbers? Just this year alone, we've had 26 folks join our church. We've had 18 people baptized. We've got a family I'm getting to disciple right now and going to get to marry them on January 1st. And praise the Lord, I can't wait for that and what God's doing in their lives. Yesterday, we had 14 people out sharing the gospel. This past Wednesday, our Bible study, we had about 40 people over in the fellowship hall. We're kind of having to add more chairs now because our Wednesday night, God's blessing our Wednesday night Bible study and folks are coming. But let me tell you right now, numbers aren't everything, but numbers represent people. Numbers do represent people. When the word says multiplied, hey, you know what? Do you remember learning the multiplication chart? You know, 2 and 2, 2 times 2 is 4. And then you go 4 and 4 and you kind of, okay, 16. And that's pretty smart. See how quick that was? Just don't get me any higher than fours, okay? But multiplying, and yet that's what was happening with people. More people are getting saved. More people are, their lives are being changed by the gospel. But then you find in chapter 6, again, verse number 1, keep reading on. There arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. What is going on right here? Well, we have a problem now. You got people. Amen. Hey, by the way, more people means more problems. Amen. I got problems. That's what it means. Hey, it's growing. This is great, man. More people. Uh-oh. Because you got reading on. There's some problems going on in the church right now. What's happening here? Well, first, I want to point out two things this morning. We'll be done. Unmet needs. Unmet needs. You have two different groups of people. The Bible points out to us right now at this time, you have the Grecians and you've got the Hebrews. The Grecians were Hellenistic. They were Hellenistic Jews, meaning they were Jews that adopted Greek ways. Greek ways. They were more the Jews that were outside of Jerusalem, all around kind of the known world at that time, that had made their way back to Jerusalem, and their style, whatever you want to say, was a little different than the Hebrew Jews who had stayed there in Jerusalem. There was cultural tension. Can I put it that way? Cultural. They're both Jews, except they got different quirks. All right, they got different ways, different, maybe they had a little bit of an accent with their language, with their talk, okay? Like, you know, the Southerners and the Northerners or something like that, you know? It's like, we're all American, but then you go down south, hey, y'all, and they go up north, hey, guys, okay? It's just a little different, right? Maybe it was like that a little bit there, but the food could have been maybe a little different, or their ways were a little bit different, or the acceptance of change and things like that could have been a little different. We have definitely here a little bit of a conflict between two groups of people. By the way, they're all in the church. Time out here. These are folks all in the church. They're all saved. They all got in the same way through the blood of Jesus Christ. And they're Grecians. They were Jewish. They were Jews that really grew up around the Greeks with Greek ways. Then you got the Hebrews. They're Jews, but they grew up much more around the Hebrew culture. In the same church, and what do you have here? Tension. Cultural tension. Now, the church had the responsibility of taking care of the widows. If you read the book of James, you read the book of Timothy, you'll find that when a widow didn't have a family, didn't have kids to take care of her, the church came in and provided food and took care of widows. You look at the early church. Remember Barnabas? He sold land and gave the money to the church. Well, the church had resources. People gave to the church so the church can take care and be a blessing. And this widow over here had some needs, and so here's some money. We can help you with this. But they were saying, well, hold on now. Our widows are being neglected. They are practicing favoritism. We're being discriminated. Those widows are being taken care of that are Hebrew widows, but the Grecian widows, what about ours? Now, I don't think this was necessarily intentional. I'm going to point that out here, but I don't think it was necessarily intentional. But I do see that the church is going through some growing pains. It's growing, and I think the work just got a little too busy, too big. I think that's what it was. I think Peter, you know, there's a lot of people. More people are coming to church. And so John said, Peter, did you take care of Esther over there? No, I forgot. You know what? I had so-and-so and I had to go take care of. Bartholomew, Thaddeus, did you guys go visit? Did you go visit Mary? No, we are so busy with the schedule. I just got out of prison and my back is still sore. I had to catch up on some emails. No, I didn't get to deliver the food to her. I mean, could you imagine? I mean, just, I don't think it was necessarily, we don't like you. I think it's just, church got big. A lot more people are in church now. You know, isn't it true how unintentional oversights can be perceived as intentional hurts? Can I just say this? You didn't vote on super pastor. I don't have superpowers. I'm limited. I can only do so much. You think about text messages, emails. I promise you, I've forgotten to text somebody back. I have forgotten to email somebody back. I have forgotten to visit somebody. I've probably said, hey, I'll call you tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Okay, yeah, great. 2 o'clock came around. I completely forgot. You know what it is? An oversight. I didn't think. And you know how sometimes, again, unintentional oversights can be perceived as intentional hurts. Satan has trying to destroy the church of Jesus Christ. He tried it through persecution. He's tried it through corruption. Ananias, Sapphira, remember deception? He tried to corrupt the church from the inside. They dealt with that. Now you find it through dissension and distraction. Folks, this morning, there's no two sides in the church. There's only one. There's no two teams in the church. There's one team, Team Jesus. It's not this side versus that side. It's not the back row versus the front row. It's not me against you. It's not you against so-and-so. Listen to me right now. Here's what we got to realize. The church is all about Jesus Christ. And we got to get our eyes on the Lord. And we got to get our identity in Christ. Whether you're a Hellenistic Jew or you're a Hebrew Jew, you got to find your identity not in your culture. Find your identity in Christ. Find your identity in Jesus Christ. Well, I'm from this country. By the way, we're international here, folks. Are we not? How many of you are from another country? Or you got family that's from another country? Come on, raise your hand right now. My dad's Canadian, okay? So I got Canada, okay? Yeah, we got different countries represented in here. And we got folks that aren't here this morning from other countries. You know what? I love it. I love culture. I really do. I live in the Philippines before. I've been to India. I've been able to travel a little bit. I tell you right now, we can't make it about a culture. We got to make it about one person. It's Jesus. Coronado Baptist Church, we got to be about Jesus and Jesus only. By the way, it's not about America. It's not about America country. Although I think we're good to remember the past. I think we got to be praying for America. I think we got to be singing songs. Praise God, we live in this country. Amen. But we can't also make it all about that because we got to realize we're citizens of another country. When I pass away, folks, I'm going to heaven. That's my country. Amen. And my king is King Jesus there. He's coming to bring his kingdom here. And I want to wave his flag. Let me just wrap it up here today. And I've got more I want to say. But let me just give you a reminder here this morning. Coronado Baptist Church cannot meet every need you have. We just can't. The one person that can is Jesus. I'm not your Savior. This church is not your Savior. Jesus is your Savior. And if we expect Coronado Baptist Church to meet every need I have, guess what you're going to be? You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be frustrated because this church can't do everything you need. Can I tell you right now? We can't.
We can't. Y'all listening? We can't. But the Lord can. Unmet needs. And then let me give you one last thought here this morning. We're done. Look at me, chapter 6, verse 1. You see that the Grecians were against the Hebrews, but notice there arose a, what's that word right there? There arose a murmuring. Now, how many of y'all remember in school, onomatopoeia? How many of y'all know what an onomatopoeia is? Okay? Murmur. Murmur. That word by itself, exactly what it means. It's just murmur. You know what that means? Complaining. They were complaining, and here's what they were doing. Complaining to others and getting others to agree with their complaints. And it was doing nothing good. It was not being a blessing to anybody. It was causing issues in the church and division and this side against that side because there was murmuring going on. Murmuring. I lost my place. And you were happy. Now, it was somewhere in my notes here. I know I have it somewhere here, and I just completely lost it here. Second thought here, and we're done. Murmuring accomplishes nothing. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, and we're done this morning. Philippians chapter 2. I completely forgot my place. And I was like, I think I'd lost a page of notes. I think that's what it was. I did. Wow. Amen. But I remember the illustration. There's a church in Dallas. They were at each other's throats. The church was divided. They went to the courts to sue the church. They're fighting over who's going to get the building and the property. The court said, you know what? Take it to your own denomination. They go to their own denomination. And their own denomination has a meeting with these two groups to see who's going to win the battle. Winner gets the church. Loser goes to another part of the town and starts a whole new church. Through all that, they found out, here's the issue. You want to know what it was? They had a dinner. One of the elders looked over, and one of the children had a larger piece of ham than he had. Murmuring started, split the church in half. Unfortunately, it even went in the newspapers, and it just did more damage that way to the cause of Christ. Because then people started laughing at the church, thinking, what a joke. Folks, can I tell you right now, listen to me right now, if we're not careful, we can make mountains out of molehills. And listen, the devil wants you to do it. He would say, yeah, build it bigger, build it bigger, build it bigger. Big problem, massive issue. No. Let's keep our eyes on the Lord. Let's find our identity in Christ. Let's realize there's something bigger here. And really, if there's a problem, go to the person that can help you with it, right? You know what they should have done? Gone to leaders. Hey, Peter, our widows. Hey, John, what about our widows? We feel like our widows are being neglected. You know what? We're sorry. We didn't mean that. I don't think they intentionally meant to neglect the widows. But look at Philippians chapter 2. Bible says, see right here, my Bible's closed. My Bible is closed. Amen. Okay, let's read it right here. Philippians 2 verse 14 says, do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Murmuring and complaining dims your light. Christians, the Bible says, we do all things without complaining. Can I tell you right now, that's hard. That's something I'm working on. Because I tell you what I naturally like to do? Complain. You put me in the wheel and I'm driving a car, guess what I'm going to start doing a little bit? Complaining. Traffic. Complaining. Red light. Complaining. That guy just cut in front of me. Come on now. Don't leave me hanging here. I ain't alone here, am I? Naturally, I'm complaining. It's too hot. It's too cold. He's preaching long. I know. Complain, complain, complain. But you know what? There's something different about somebody who's a follower of Christ. There's something different about a Christian who loves the Lord, who's in the Bible. Well, I tell you what about them. They don't complain. And when complainers come around you, don't listen to them. And they say, well, did you hear about so-and-so? Did you go talk to so-and-so? Well, no, I just said, no, go talk to them. Well, pastor said, did you go talk? No, I didn't go talk to, go talk to pastor then. Why are you talking to me? Do I have pastor on my forehead? I hope I don't. Folks, early on, this church, God's working, and you find here issues. Can the devil come in here and split this church where we're going to have another church across town that starts off the new Coronado Baptist Church? I hope not. Folks, because I don't make it about me. It's not about you. It's about Christ. And let's make it all about Him. And if there's issues, let's work through them together. Let's communicate. Let's pray. Let's figure out what's the best way we can do this. Let's make things right with each other. Confessing your faults one to another. Let's keep doing that. Let's always do that. I'm wrong. Okay, I'll admit it. You're wrong. Admit it. Hey, because at the end of the day, let's move on for the cause of Christ. Amen. Let's all stand together this morning. And we'll have an invitation here. And you respond as the Lord has spoken to you.